Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
You're listening to All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. I'm Andrea Gillis.
And I'm Steph Page. We're two Canadian expats now living in Australia and the UK.
Between the two of us, we've been through the ringer in our travels, experiencing missed flights, volcanic eruptions, and even a terrorist attack.
It's not all that extreme, though. We've also experienced heartwarming, life-changing moments and met amazing people along the way. So kick back and listen to All the Shit I've Learned Abroad.
Welcome to another episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. I'm Andrea.
And I'm Steph.
Hi, Steph. I think we're going to start this episode with just a little...
A request.
Yeah, it's we haven't asked for a while, guys. If you're listening for a while now, you're enjoying what you're hearing. If you could please leave us a 5-star review, that would be amazing. We really appreciate it. We have no idea why, but that really helps move us up on the charts and help other people find us. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't done that yet, maybe if you could take a moment, do that now. We'd really appreciate that. Thank you.
We would. And if you know how the algorithm works in terms of moving up the charts with reviews and 5 stars, let us know, because we don't know. but it seems to work.
Yep. Yes, it does.
And if you do like the podcast, please share it with your friends. We find that sharing amongst our listeners is how we get new listeners. That's the best way to find out about great new podcasts. So...
Sharing is caring.
And ask your friends to leave us a review. Okay, so cheeky little request there. Thanks. So this week we're doing a very important topic. One that, again, Steph and I have talked about doing for a long time. Just hadn't really gotten around to it yet. But this is kind of... We did an episode about solo travel. God, last year? I mean, that was one of our... first episode.
Got to be in our top 10, or one of our first 10 episodes.
Yeah. And off the back of that, we've been meaning to do an episode specifically about traveling as women. Obviously, Steph and I are women. This is something we have done a lot of, and this will touch specifically around solo travel, but a lot of this will still be applicable, you know, if you are traveling with a group of women. So just to start off this episode, for me anyways, and Steph, I feel like you're the same. I'm actually super thankful that I don't really have any specific anecdotes or horrible stories that have happened to me as a woman traveling solo. And I feel like you're in the same boat.
I've had a few close calls, but thankfully all situations where there was someone else to help out,
right.
Which I'm eternally grateful for. So nothing horrible to report, thankfully, knock on wood.
Yeah, as I said, I'm the same. And I know we've talked about, you know, places that we've traveled as women where maybe we felt uncomfortable, but that's, you know, completely different to feeling unsafe and, you know, having just bad things happen, specifically if you are a woman. So, you know, we know, though, it's really important to talk about this, and we wanted to kind of discuss some of the more unsafe countries to visit as a solo woman, or even again as in a group of women, but then also some of the safest. And you know, we want to caveat as well that we're not saying any of these countries are definite like no-go. It's just about being safe. Also, remember, a lot of this is going to be regional as well. And we'll talk about that when we discuss some of these countries.
Yeah.
And as we say, it's always, you know, it's at your own discretion. It's not to scare anyone off from traveling. It's just to give you a bit of insight.
To be aware of the things to think of, the things to look for before you go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the more you know, the safer you are.
Exactly. So while we were doing this research, we came across a super useful index that was put together last year by a husband-wife travel journalist, Asher and Lyric Ferguson. So they have a blog. And what they've done, they've compiled a bunch of international data and put together what's called the Women's Danger Index. And this index is ultimately there to help women find the safest countries to visit and also highlight some of the more unsafe countries to visit to, especially solo. So I think it is more geared towards solo women travel. And so how it works, and we'll link this index in the show notes, but it's essentially based on the 50 most visited tourist destinations around the world. And what they've done, they've ranked them from top to bottom, and they look at individual categories around women's safety. So the individual categories, they're also broken down by country. So you can imagine some of these are going to differ by country. So what we thought we would do is talk through each of the individual categories and just talk about some of these countries and some of them that Steph and I have been to. Some of them that came as a bit of a surprise to see on these, you know, in these categories. But again, it's just to help sort of inform you guys, and again we'll link it after so you can have a look. But should we name the eight categories, and then we'll go through each of them? So the eight factors of this index, they include safe to walk alone at night, intentional homicide of women, non-partner sexual violence, intimate partner violence, legal discrimination, global gender gap, gender equality, and then lastly, violence against women attitudes. So let's dive in. Let's go through the first category, which I feel like this is, I mean, for me, this is the number one that I think of when I'm going to, you know, be traveling on my own in certain countries. Am I safe to walk alone at night? So what they did, they surveyed a bunch of women that were 15 years of age or older. And they asked them, in the city or area where you live, do you feel safe walking alone at night? The top 10 worst countries, so in this list, South Africa came out on top, Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, Dominican Republic, Ukraine, Chile, Turkey, Malaysia, and Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've been to five of those.
Yeah, I mean, I've only been to a couple of them, but South Africa being number one. Now, South Africa tops a lot of these categories that we're going to go through, and I've never been to South Africa myself, but Steph, you have been. Mm-hmm. Was this one that surprised you?
Yeah, so, I mean, it surprised me that it was on top, not that it was on the list. Mm-hmm. But South Africa, when I went there, I spent a month in South Africa, and everywhere I stayed there, I stayed with locals from couch surfing, and they all told me the same thing. Never to walk alone in general at night, even with people, let alone by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it really didn't surprise me. And this is somewhere... Oh, I've got to say, there's very few places where I actually do walk alone at night.
Right.
I think maybe just where I live in a few, maybe two or three countries. But from everything I heard from the people, the locals living in South Africa, it was definitely not something I would have done.
Okay.
That's a lie.
Okay.
As I said that, I remembered I definitely had some nights out in Cape Town. I was thinking more of Joburg, but I had some nights out in Cape Town with groups of people kind of on Long Street, which is a big backpackers area, where we did go out, have a couple drinks, and walk back at night.
Yeah.
But I'm talking big group. There'd be like 8, 9, 10 of us. Yeah.
Well, and that's a lot. I mean, even I would imagine that you had guys there as well. You know, it wasn't a group of, So this is, I mean, I can totally understand. Like walking alone as a woman anyways, it's one of those things that, I mean, I was having this discussion with just a male friend of mine and telling him like all the things that women have to consider when they're just walking home at night.
Mm-hmm.
And my male friend was just like, I would have never thought of that. I would have never thought, you know, not to have my headphones in, listening to music, like having my keys in my hand in case you need to use them as a weapon. The other ones that jump out here. I mean, Steph, you've done Brazil, Argentina. I mean, a lot of South America on here, Central America.
Yeah. I mean, Brazil, someone tried to mug us during the day, so it doesn't surprise me about walking at night. Argentina, we had pickpocketers just all over during the day. So same thing. If it's happening during the day, imagine what's happening at night.
Yeah.
Mexico, it's been a long time since I've been to Mexico, so I can't really speak to it, but I imagine it's pretty comparable. The surprise on this list for me is the Dominican Republic.
Oh, really? See, well, and I've been there, but again, I stayed on a resort. Exactly. I had my other issues with the Dominican when I was there, which we'll talk about that in some of the other categories. But yeah, I don't know. Like when you were there, Steph, you didn't feel like it was unsafe to walk around on your own?
I mean, I've been here's the hard thing is I've been a few times. I definitely went off the resort. But the same thing, not at night by myself. I just, as a rule of thumb, I never walk alone at night when I'm traveling.
Right. Well, and you should, I think of all of this anyways, guys, regardless if a country you're visiting on your own is on this list or not, you really shouldn't be walking around alone at night in an unfamiliar place anyways.
Right.
Just, that's one of those things, you know, be safe. If you are staying, like if you are traveling solo and where you're staying, like stay somewhere really central. We talked, I think, in last week's episode when we were both in Marrakesh, and the hostels we stayed in were like right in the central market area where there's people around all the time. You're never really on your own. So I think just avoid having to walk alone at night altogether. Book places that are, you know, in the hustle and bustle of the city where you're going, to avoid it.
It limits the window of time you could be alone. So
yeah, exactly.
Which is definitely a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I can't really speak to Ukraine, Chile, Turkey, Malaysia. I haven't been to any of those countries. Would love to. And Egypt, yeah, Egypt didn't surprise me, I
mean, Egypt was one of those just walking around anyways as two blonde white women. We stood out. We got some attention. Again, though, I think we talked about it before. I didn't feel unsafe. It was just a bit uncomfortable. But yeah, would I walk around the streets of Cairo on my own at night? No.
No.
Absolutely not.
Same.
And we were told that as well by drivers. Yeah, they said, you know what? Do yourself favors. Get drivers.
Yeah. Well, and to give everyone the range of kind of the safety scale is only 25% of women said they would feel safe walking alone at night in South Africa. 47 did in Egypt. So that's quite the difference between number one and number 10.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, just have a look at the list, but bear in mind, you know, it could be any country. Just be safe. The next factor or category that comes up is intentional homicide of women. So I should note as well, these two categories that we just talked about, these two were weighted heavier in terms of like an overall average, because we're going to give you guys like the top 10 from all of these at the end. But so safe to walk alone at night and intentional homicide of women are the top two, or they're the categories where they've weighted heavier. So intentional homicide of women, I feel like this list also didn't really surprise me. Number one, again, South Africa.
Yeah.
Number two, Russia, then Brazil, Mexico, Dominican Republic, India, Ukraine, the USA, Philippines, and Argentina. So South Africa, top of the list again. That didn't that didn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, unfortunately, to see South Africa at the top of the list again. From what I heard while I was there from all the locals, it's violence is very pervasive and non-discriminatory there. So, you know, if they're coming to rob you, if they're coming to attack you for any reason, they don't care if you're a man or a woman. I feel like most victims of lethal violence are men, but South Africa, the number of women is very high as well.
Do you, what are the gun laws in South Africa? Do you know? Was that something you asked when you were there? Because I'm just looking. Yeah, I'm just looking at this list, and only reason because the U.S. jumps out at me here, where obviously we know gun crime in the U.S. is a big deal, and in South Africa, I don't know what the laws are, but I have heard, anyways, there's a lot of gun crime.
Yeah, I can't speak to it. I don't actually know. So South Africa's number one, and then again, like you said, we've got, you know, Russia, Brazil, Mexico, Dominican. India didn't surprise me, unfortunately, just from I've learned about the attitudes of towards women in India. Ukraine really jumps out at me. And I think they were on the list as well about walking alone at night.
Yep.
And I think maybe it's just because I don't know enough about the Ukraine.
Yeah.
But it surprised me. It was on both these lists. And then the USA. That one really got me thinking because I obviously have traveled almost every U.S. state alone, solo, as a woman. And I've said before, it was the more than anywhere I've traveled in the world. People were more concerned about my safety in the U.S. than they were anywhere else. And maybe that's just because it's easier to be comfortable there since the U.S. feels so much like home to me.
Probably, but, yeah.
Yeah, the intentional homicide of women. The seeing the U.S. make that list, it's a bit disheartening. It's the only Western, you know, kind of country appearance we've seen so far.
Well, and that's it. When you look at some of these lists, there's definitely countries, in this case, like the U.S. that pops out. Because maybe this is us talking as Canadians. And, you know, we did the episode last week about culture shock, right? Like going to the U.S. for the most part, if we went there, we wouldn't, you know, as you said, we'd feel really at ease, comfortable because it is so close to home. But looking at this and looking at, it comes in number 8 on countries of intentional homicide of women. It's like we should be a little bit more cautious, you know, but again, that's going to be very regional as well. You know, we talked about that. The culture shock episode as well, how it differs so much in different parts of it. They have different gun laws in different states.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this, obviously homicide doesn't always equate to a gun. I know that. But again, I'm just looking at some of these countries and the first thing that does spring to mind is what are their gun laws?
I think for me, looking at these lists, so like you just mentioned, when you see the USA, gun violence does come to mind first. And when I see some of the other countries, I'm almost wondering if it's sexual violence which causing death.
Right.
Which kind of leads us into the next category, which is very applicable to travelers, is non-partner sexual violence. So that's basically the percentage of women who've experienced sexual violence by a non-partner.
Yeah.
And they do note that this is a very typically underreported crime. So the countries you see on this list, it may actually be very skewed data because these are going to be countries where people are more comfortable reporting.
Even when I looked at this list, I was sort of, we'll go through it, but Canada was number 5. And I thought, okay, like Steph and I are from Canada, a relatively safe country. But then as you said, Steph, Canada is a country where people do report sexual assaults, rape. And actually, so let's just go through the list. Do you want to?
Yeah. Number 1, again, South Africa. Number 2, Australia. 3, Mexico, USA, Canada, China, South Korea, Japan, Sweden, and the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Which to me, this list screams countries where women feel comfortable reporting violence.
And that's why the ones that stood out for me here, obviously Canada, Australia. But then
Australia
even,
at number 2.
Yeah. And then Sweden and the Netherlands. But, and I mean, most of the other, even South Korea. But it's as you said, after when I sort of looked at it and thought about this, I'm like, wait, so there's so many other countries in the world where think about some Middle Eastern countries where women are raped or sexually assaulted. And they're actually then put in prison because, you know, sexual relations outside of marriage is illegal. So there's a lot of countries around the world where these crimes are not actually being reported. So it's almost like when you're looking at where it says top 10 worst countries for non-partner sexual violence, I'm actually almost looking at this as best, if that makes sense. Like I'm almost flipping it around. And because, again, these are countries, like if anything were to happen to you in Canada, you can report it and you will be.
Yeah. Hopefully taken seriously.
Yeah.
I think what I see looking at this, is unfortunately sexual violence is a crime that happens worldwide. No country is immune to that. And there's no country you will travel to where that is not a risk. But yeah, to me, this list, I don't know how much I take away from this list knowing just how I'm viewing it. There's one or two countries that jump out to me where I think I would genuinely be more concerned. I'm going to be concerned everywhere.
Right.
But that I would be more concerned. But overall, I feel like, you know, and again, police not taking sexual violence seriously is also an issue in every country. But I think it's less predominant in the countries on this list.
Yeah, no, definitely. And this will tie into, you know, just again, being safe, not, as you said, you know, walking alone at night, homicide against women. I mean, these all go hand in hand. So if we go into the next category, this is intimate partner violence. So the percentage of women who have experienced physical or sexual violence committed by their intimate partner.
So I think just like the previous category, this is also an underreported issue. So while the list doesn't take into account the numbers, I mean, this list is based on the people who did report this.
Yeah. So yeah. Of the top 10 worst is Morocco, Thailand, China, Turkey, India, Brazil, the U.S., Chile, Vietnam, and Argentina. Mm-hmm. So a couple cross, a couple of the same ones from the non-partner sexual violence. So
yeah, I can't speak too much to this. I've only dated from this list, dated men from the USA. And, you know, again, thankfully, no issues. But
yeah,
I can't speak to intimate partner violence in any of these.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in this category, they are just looking at, you know, specific. This doesn't necessarily tie into those traveling, right? This is looking at overall intimate partner violence in these countries.
I think it does relate to those traveling in the way that a big part of traveling is often, you know, meeting people. People do have travel romances, and these are things they need to know and be aware of, taking,
right,
you know, that aspect of traveling into consideration. If you go to Morocco and you're spending a month there, you know, and you meet a wonderful person who, by all accounts, could very well be a wonderful person.
Yeah.
You just need to have it in the back of your mind that this is a very dominant issue in Morocco, and to be on your guard and be aware of that heading into the situation that you're getting into.
You're right. I think I was sort of reading this more as, I was reading it wrong, in the sense of being in like a relationship, but actually it's just intimate partner, which could mean, you know, a one night stand or someone you meet from a dating app. So yeah, you're right. That is, you know, some of these countries, if you are, we've talked about, you know, travel romances and getting on dating apps and having travel flings. As Steph said, maybe take a look at some of these countries and just be a bit more cautious of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So moving into the next category, legal discrimination. So this is an aggregate score for laws and regulations that limit women's ability to participate in society and the economy, or that differentiate between men and women. So I think this list did not surprise me whatsoever. I think we're very aware of most countries where women's rights are not the equal as men. So number one, Saudi Arabia. No surprise there. The second, UAE. So this one will definitely be a regional one.
Yeah, I think that would surprise people because so many people just equate Dubai as the UAE.
Yep.
And they forget Dubai is kind of the Western epicenter of a very Muslim country that doesn't have the same protections for people outside of Dubai as they do inside Dubai.
Well, and even you say that, even in Dubai, they have the same laws. They're just very lenient. But I think that's where you can get... you still have to be very careful because as a woman, and I've been to Dubai, and I, you know, a friend of mine lived there for years, and
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, you can live very freely. You know, women can go on the beach, be in a bikini. They can drink. They can, you know, they're known for their ladies' nights, club nights. But at the same time, you could get into a taxi at the end of the night with a taxi driver that decides he doesn't appreciate you as a drunk woman in the back of his car, and he can take you to the police. Like, it still would apply, the same laws, but...
Yeah.
So you still have to be on your guard. Things like being drunk and having sex out of marriage is still very much frowned upon, even in Dubai. So be careful. And then, as you said, like, there's, you know, you can drive an hour outside of Dubai. So I went to Abu Dhabi when I was there. And it's very different in Abu Dhabi. It's not as liberal there. You know, women do have to cover up. So it's going to differ depending on where you're going. Saudi Arabia, I think that's one of those countries, as a woman, I probably would never travel there anyways. That's not somewhere I would want to be, where I just feel like I am on guard all the time. I have to be cautious about what I do and what I say. And I mean, I don't know, Steph, would you ever go to...
I think I would, to be honest.
Would you? I mean, I think I would, if you did, you'd have to plan it.
I'd plan it properly. I'd go, I'd have all the right attire. I'd do all the right things according to the country's laws. I think I'd go because I just want to see the historical aspects of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. I mean, I would as well, but I do sometimes still have a problem. I mean, I'll be honest, even when I went to Dubai a couple of years ago, like, there's something about me as a woman going into some of these countries where I'm supporting their economy, but I don't have this, you know, they don't necessarily support women's rights. But I know what you mean. It's because at the same time, a lot of these countries, they have so much history and they're beautiful and you want to go see them, but
I mean, I would definitely be getting contact lenses. Like,
yeah
nothing. I could dress the whole, you know, the whole attire and then bright blue eyes.
Yeah. No, exactly.
So continuing on, we got Saudi Arabia, UAE, Iran, Bahrain, Malaysia, Egypt, Tunisia, Indonesia, Russia, and Morocco.
Yeah. So predominantly most of the Muslim countries.
Middle Eastern. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Egypt, what's so funny about Egypt is it doesn't surprise me that it's on the list. But if you visit Cairo, you can get, I don't want to call it Cairo liberal, but of all the Egyptian places, there's more liberal attitudes. You're going to see women of all kinds of dress, from high-end fashion with skin showing to fully covered, that it's easy to get the impression that that is all of Egypt, when same thing, as soon as, I think we asked someone about that while we were there, and they said, yeah, that's Cairo. As soon as you leave Cairo, you wouldn't see women dressed like this.
Well, that's the same, I would imagine, for, like, even Malaysia, Indonesia as well. Like, you know, Bali is... It is part of Indonesia, but...
I was going to say, I wonder if a lot of Australians would be surprised to see Indonesia's appearance on so many of these lists, because I find a lot of Australians' perceptions of Indonesia is Bali.
Yeah. When,
and they forget that Bali is a little tourist bubble, and outside of that, it is a very Muslim country.
Yeah. Well, I would even, and I'm not saying Australians in general, but I know people that don't even realize that Bali is part of Indonesia. Like, they think Bali is like its own country. Yeah. You know, some people, if you ask them, what country is Bali part of? Sometimes they can't answer it. They actually don't know. Or yeah, they think it's its own country. So that's definitely very regional as well. And then Malaysia, even, like, not that I've done a lot of Malaysia, but I have gone to the Malaysian part of Borneo. And it was sort of, depending on where we were, it wasn't, you know, we could walk around, women could walk around with shorts, tank tops. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't super strict in terms of, it's not like I had, had to completely cover up. But then, we did ask our tour guide, you know, he said, parts of Borneo, you would have to cover up as a woman, and then other parts of Malaysia as well, obviously. So very regional, I think, in those countries. But yeah, you get to places like, you know, Saudi Arabia, definitely not Russia. Do you know anyone that's been to Russia, Steph?
I do. But I only know people who've kind of been to Moscow.
Okay.
And they all loved it, to be honest. Mm. They all had an amazing time, said it's beautiful, no complaints, but they didn't really, I mean, Russia, it's the biggest country in the world. Yeah. So even if you're there for a month, you're still only getting a glimpse at best.
Yeah. I would feel very safe going to Moscow.
Yeah.
But parts so outside of that. And I think that speaks to when we did the episode about, when we had the gays are revolting on, you know, that was the country that both of Kyle and Mikey said they wouldn't go to as gay men. So I wonder if a lot of these countries would also line up with discrimination against, you know, being homosexual as well. There's probably
sadly true. Yeah. So then the next two, these are kind of like overarching themes. So global gender gap and gender inequality. Mm-hmm. But these are they're reflective of just attitudes towards women. So when you go there, you have an idea of the general, you know, perceptions of women, whether they're allowed to participate in different economic ways, what kind of education they can attain, what kind of health care they have access to. Mm-hmm. And let me know if there's any, I'm going to go through global gender gap, but let me know if you find any surprises in here. Number one comes Iran, Saudi Arabia, Morocco, Egypt, Turkey, Bahrain, UAE, South Korea, Tunisia, Japan.
So the ones that stick out for me, South Korea, because I did think South Korea was quite, and maybe I'm wrong, but I have friends that have actually like lived over there, like women that absolutely loved it. Again, I would imagine maybe this is regional.
So I have a number of friends also who did the year in South Korea. And if you ask them about it, they're like, oh, it's great, blah, blah. And then when you dig deeper and start really asking questions, they start, more starts to come out.
Okay.
So, you know, in hindsight, sometimes when you forget the, you know, you remember the great parts and the not so great parts, you kind of brush under the rug.
Right.
That's what the vibe I've gotten from everyone I know who's done the year in South Korea. Mm. And when you get talking to them about things like gender issues, their perception of Westerners and different kind of even beauty standards.
Right.
And the way they're treated as a result, they start to have a lot to say about it. So okay. South Korea actually didn't surprise me. Right. Only because of, and I, in my friend group, three of them did the year in South Korea. So one day they started talking to each other about it and I was blown away once they got deeper. I was like, oh.
Right. Where did they live in South Korea? Did they live
in Seoul?
Seoul. Okay.
Yeah.
So I would imagine most people, if they are expats over there, they'd be in Seoul.
And I think Japan didn't surprise me from everything, you know, I've ever learned and read about Japan. I think it just stands out though, because it stands out because it's considered such, you know, a first world nation, very advanced, very technological. It stands out in that way to me on the list.
I agree. But yeah, it also didn't surprise me because we know Japan is, it's very male dominated in terms of business.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one didn't, as you said, at first it stood out. But then when you start thinking about it, you're like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And then we talked about gender inequality as well. So with gender equalities, this one is a calculated index that measures three basic factors. So health, such as maternal mortality, empowerment, looking at like secondary education, and then labor market as well. So in the countries on here, they didn't really surprise me either. So India, Morocco, Cambodia, Iran, Indonesia, Dominican Republic, Egypt, Philippines, Brazil, and Thailand. So a lot of common, you know, a lot of these countries, a lot of crossover countries. We see the Dominican on here again. Mm-hmm.
So the Dominican, it's making an appearance across a lot of these lists. And so this list was put together in 2019. So I don't know if it takes into account the recent surge in murders and attacks on female tourists in the Dominican.
Yeah.
And a lot of them now, too, are even, people have had this perception for so long that the resorts are their safety bubble, but they have been happening on the resorts.
Yes. Well, it's funny that you say that. When I went to the Dominican in, I think I was like 2003, and I've mentioned this a few times in the podcast, but sort of first trip away outside of Canada, really. Mm-hmm. And on the resort, the men that worked on the resort, looking back, well, even then I knew, but they were so inappropriate. Like, so inappropriate. Yeah. I mean, I remember we went kayaking the one day, and I had to share a kayak with, I was there with two friends, so they went in one kayak, and I had to share a kayak with one of the guys that worked at the kayak stall or whatever. And as we're kayaking, he started, like, he moved up behind me and, like, started putting his arms around me. And I didn't really know what to think of it. And now, fast forward me at almost the age of 35, I would have absolutely been like, what the fuck are you doing? No, yeah. This is totally inappropriate. But I didn't know. I was kind of like, you know, this inexperienced traveler. I thought maybe, I'm like, is this just how the culture is here? I don't know. And nothing happened. Thank God nothing happened. But I sort of, you know, brushed him away. We went back. We got out of the kayak and I didn't say anything. And then just a couple of the guys that worked in the actual hotel just speaking to us inappropriately. I remember one of them was trying to like coax me to come in like a back room with him. And I don't know. It was all just a bit creepy. And looking back at it, I feel like it put me off resorts a bit.
I feel like I wish I could tell every woman from the age of, you know, 14 and up just to use their voice, because there's so many things that we now as women look back on and we're like, that wasn't okay.
Yeah.
But we didn't know if we could say something or we were being polite or we didn't want to, you know,
exactly.
Be rude.
That's it. I think it was the polite factor. I thought, I'm a guest here. I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. It's like, no. They're making me uncomfortable. Why should I feel uncomfortable when I'm
I hate paying. How women, we really do find our voices on speaking up. I want to say like starting around the age of 27 almost, which sounds so late, but it's what I seem to see happening. And it's like, I wish I could teach every woman from the age of 14 up that when a man makes you uncomfortable, like you tell him.
Yeah. Or and tell someone.
And you tell him publicly. I don't even care.
Yeah.
We also have this mindset where we feel like we can't say things in front of other people. Where it's like, if they're doing that to you in front of other people, damn right you can say something in front of other people.
Oh, absolutely. But, and you're right. It's so funny when you look back at some of these experiences. And again, I thought about that one, you know, recently. And I'm like, my God, like that guy's lucky he didn't pull that shit on me now, because I would have made a fool out of him in that kayak. But
so what I do find interesting about the global gender gap and the gender inequality list is South Africa topped the list on not safe to walk alone at night, intentional homicide of women, non-partner sexual violence, but didn't even make the list for global gender gap and gender inequality. So it's almost like women have more access to education, more access to healthcare, to political positions, but yet there's not necessarily that correlation between, you know, participation in the economy versus violence against them.
Yeah, that is actually, I didn't even.
Because they're, South Africa is absent from these lists.
Interesting.
Now, a list South Africa is not absent from is
the last one.
The final list is the violence against women attitudes. And this one, this list terrifies me.
Yes.
Because this list is actually based on women who agree that a partner or husband is justified in beating their wife or partner.
Yeah. So this isn't men. Again, when I first read it, I thought, oh, it's just where men think it's okay. But no, this is women saying, yeah, it's absolutely fine if my husband backhands me, if I've done something wrong.
Which is just terrifying. And at number one on that list was 61% of women think there are times when it is justified for their partner to beat them is Thailand.
Yeah. That one stood out. For sure, because it's such a high tourist area. I don't know. Thailand didn't really make, it did a couple times in the other list, but not that high up, you know?
Yeah. So number one is Thailand. Two is China, Cambodia, India, Malaysia, Singapore, Egypt, Vietnam, South Africa, and Morocco.
South Africa, though, it's funny that we just talked about gender, global gender gap and gender inequality, where South Africa doesn't make that list. Yet on this list, South African women are saying, yep, it's fine if my partner beats me.
Well, it's funny because I found, now Rwanda is obviously not on the list because it's not one of the top 50 tourist countries in the world.
Right.
But in Rwanda, so if anyone were to ever look at Rwanda's stats on women in their political sphere, there's a lot of women in politics in Rwanda.
Right.
But they've done studies on a lot of those women. They participate in the economy a lot at very high ranking levels. They have similar mindsets of violence against women in the home, because what happens is women have these roles and they go home and their husbands beat them out of inadequacy. And it's a huge, huge problem in Rwanda. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I almost see the correlation between Rwanda and South Africa. So women now have these roles of participation.
Right.
Yet still that mentality about that, you know,
women should. Yeah, I see. I know what you mean. And I agree with the correlation with South Africa. You're absolutely right. It's almost like men are still not at a place where they can feel okay with women having these equal rights and the same jobs of them as everything.
It's almost like in some countries, women being able to participate in the economy progresses faster than male mindsets around them doing it. So they have the right to do it, but men aren't prepared for that. I don't know what the right term is.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And I think now things like even sex education in schools now, things are like this as an example is changing around, like, for example, I mean, I remember sex ed when we were 13, 14, and it was, I mean, we learned about women's periods and where babies come from and how to put a condom on a wooden penis. Like, that was our sex ed. But now I have, you know, friends that are teachers in, you know, the UK, Canada, other countries where sex ed, a lot of that is teaching men about consent and what's okay and how you treat a woman. And that obviously ties into potentially violence against women as well. And I wonder if a place like South Africa, it's, as you said, they're not progressing fast enough in terms of teaching men what's acceptable and what's not with. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in, so India is number 4 on this list. And when I was in India, I did a yoga retreat for a week. How cliche of me, I know.
Yeah.
And part of it, there was a lot of men there too. And they were doing a session just on general health. And they separated the men and the women. And I was a bit confused at first. And then even the woman running the session for us women, when she started talking about her period, her voice got really quiet.
Right. The and shame. And I realized
they separated us so the men wouldn't hear the women talking about their period. And these were all adults. These weren't kids who it's awkward. Like, men know women get periods. It's what makes the world go round.
It's part of the natural flow of things, no pun intended.
But and it's just the mindsets and attitudes towards sex and female bodies. It's
shameful still.
Yeah, it's shameful in a lot of countries.
I mean, it's still, and you know what, you say that, even in countries like the UK, Canada, like, it's quite funny at work, me and the girls at work, we are like an open book there, and we talk, you know, like, it's true what they say, any guys listening, and I would hope any guys listening, you're not like turning the podcast off because we're talking about periods.
I don't think any of the guys listening would.
No, I don't think so either. But
they're all pretty cool.
It's true what they say. Ladies do sync up when they spend enough time together. So yeah, us, like all the girls at work, we talk about it in the open. And actually, most of the guys at my work, they're cool with it. They all sort of laugh when they're like, oh, good to know. You guys are okay. It's your week. Thanks for the warning. But you still get a few that kind of are, ugh, and they sort of grimace. It's like, oh, come on, boys. It's 2020. Vaginas bleed. And I would hope we get to a point sometime in my lifetime where, yeah, it's not a shameful thing. You know, women shouldn't feel ashamed about having a period. And especially things now, like, you know, there's so many things alongside. I feel like we're going on to a totally different topic. But
we are.
Things like, you know, women that suffer from, you know, things like endometriosis. It's not talked about enough because it's still, women are feel ashamed to talk about it. And it's a big problem amongst women. You know, this is something women suffer from and it's horrific. So anyways, for other guys listening out there, and the women.
Fun facts. There you go.
No shame. No shame. So let's do then from this list then, essentially taken into account an average of all the categories we just talked about. So Thailand, India, Morocco, Egypt, Dominican Republic, Iran, Mexico, Russia, Brazil, and number one, surprise, surprise, South Africa. So they gave these a score. Everything's kind of done from a score from like F as in fail to A, although no country's got an A. I'll say that. So those are the top 10 unsafe ones. Now, again, you know, I don't think any of these really jump out at us. Thailand, though, I know, Steph, you were saying, well.
Yeah, I was surprised. Well, what I was thinking when you said this was I was so shocked that Thailand was rated, you know, unsafer than Saudi Arabia, but they all were. The whole top 10 was.
Yeah, well, and also bear in mind the two categories that scored heavier
were safe to walk alone at night and intentional homicide of women. So they scored, each of those countries were scored like a 2-point score versus all the other categories were one. So I feel like Saudi Arabia, I mean, yeah, they didn't even make those two charts. But I mean, it's South Africa being number one, though. I mean, I still know a lot of people that would still very happily. Well,
and it's wild to me because, well, I hate the question, you know, what's your favorite country? When I have to pick one, I actually choose South Africa because it was by far the most beautiful country I've been to. I was there for a month and I could have spent, you know, easily another month. And I usually don't say that about a place.
Yeah. Well, I feel the same way about Thailand, and Thailand's number 10 on this list. So, you know, it goes, we're, and that's the thing, as we said at the beginning, we're not saying not to visit any of these countries. Right. We're not saying it because we've been to a lot of them. We've talked about Egypt, Morocco, Thailand, stuff. You've been to India.
I've solo traveled 8 of the top 10.
Yeah. I mean, you can do it. It's just about being safe and just taking into consideration some of these factors that we might not think of. So, and with that said, though, let's look at, from this list, the top 10 safest countries. Number 10, Poland.
That surprises me.
That actually surprises me because the UK is number 11. I would have thought it was the other way around, to be honest. But so the UK is number 11, guys. So we're almost in the top 10. But Poland being number 10. Next, Canada, Croatia, Portugal, Norway, Switzerland, Austria, Ireland, Singapore, and then Spain being the safest to travel as a solo woman. Which that didn't surprise me at all. I feel like Spain is very liberal, very open. I've never felt unsafe anytime. Well, besides pickpocketing, but that's, again, nothing directed that's specifically to women. Yeah. But yeah, and then you've got, you know, your Norway, Switzerland, Austria. Ireland has always been a safe country for women to go to.
I feel what surprises me, because a lot of our listeners are from Australia. So Australia was actually number 29 on the list.
Yeah.
So almost smack in the middle of the top 50 most traveled countries. Australia's in the middle.
Yeah, there was quite a few that didn't make that top 10 that I was actually quite surprised about. Like Germany being one of them. I thought Germany would be in there. I thought Australia. Sweden as well. Funnily enough, Sweden is not even near the top 10. But yeah, so there you have it, guys. There's a, again, we'll link this index to the show notes. It's really, really interesting.
It is.
If you're really into data like I am and looking at numbers and coming up with, you know, your own analysis, definitely have a look. And, you know, maybe this will help you guys map out some of those countries that you've thought about going to as a solo traveler, as a woman.
See, I look at this list and I'm so over Europe, and it's like, it just basically tells you to travel to Europe.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Well, again, it's not saying don't travel. I think it's just saying
what to beware of. So a lot of interesting data this week. Some surprises, some not so much a surprise.
Yeah. And let us know, guys, if there's anything on this list that either surprises you or doesn't, or if you've been to any of these countries as a solo female traveler. We want to hear about your stories and your experiences, and if you guys have any tips as well.
Yes. So shoot us a DM. You know where to find us. And if you don't, here it is.
All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms, from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Shit I've Learned Abroad Pod. Donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit Abroad Pod, and Facebook by searching All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Undaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Undaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.